either class book. We still have a couple extras left. Anybody need one? You just forgot or need? Yeah, but it's on the it's a gray colored one. Winter quarter. Found this we teach foundation. I remember when I was a youngster, not very many years ago, just a few years ago. But when my mom would sit my brother and me down beside her, she'd read stories to us. We were, you know, kindergarten, preschool age. And typically when she would read a book to us, being a good educator that she was, she would not just open the storybook and read it to us, but she made sure that we were probably looking at the book with her. And she would point out, you know, this is the title of the book, and or this is the author, the one who wrote the book. This is the illustrator, the one who drew the pictures in the book. And many times when we're reading through the book, she would point out different things, you know, capital letters, punctuation, and things like that. And so I kind of noted last week when I was here, Claire taught the lesson for me. But you were aware of what you did, but you just did that in the chapter. He opened the book and says, here's the chapter heading, and then he took us to the end or to the application and reviewed just a couple highlighted sentences, and then he went back to the section after the verses and kind of walked us through the first sentence of a couple paragraphs. So I just want you to kind of note before we start this lesson, there are three chapters right in a row that deal with a similar theme, that theme being authority. Last week's lesson on page 19, it was authority in the Godhead. And the author used several scriptures, but one was the story of the centurion that came to Jesus and asked him to heal his servant. But in his conversation with Jesus, he mentioned, you know, almost making a personal illustration, I understand authority because I have servants, and when I command to say go, they go, or come, they come. And so here this person in authority comes to Jesus and with an attitude says, obviously you're someone in authority, and I'm coming to you asking you to do something I can't do, and that's heal my servant. And Jesus does. That's how the story concludes. And then the story of the Old Testament, God appearing in the lesson Clarence taught, God appearing before Moses. Moses, I'm going to send you to what you think of as a higher authority than you, but I have a higher authority. I'm higher authority than Pharaoh. So God speaks to Moses, and Moses even said, well, who shall I say sent me? Well, somebody higher than Pharaoh. You tell Pharaoh the I am sent you. So in that first lesson last week, there's a trilogy or three lessons in a row, Clarence pointed out that the authority of just the Godhead. In our lesson today, on page 27, is the authority in the Word of God. The next lesson, these three in a row, in page 34, the authority for God's people. There's three lessons right in a row dealing with similar themes, but the application changes. This first one just being we need to recognize the authority of the Godhead, and if we do that, we need to submit to that. Similar thing when you look at the lesson on page 27. And when I prepare for a lesson like this, and you can see my book, it's all written in. But typically, I go through the book three or four different ways. The first time I go through the chapter, I just kind of take the gist of it. I don't read all the scriptures. I just read the scripture headings. And then I'll look over and see, oh, I see how he's working this book or writing the chapters. Then he takes each scripture. When you go through the body of the book, he takes each scripture and it's almost like a commentary on those scriptures. And then at the very end, then he gives you the application. So the first thing I do when I look at the chapter, I just casually glance through it, maybe read one sentence of each paragraph, the first sentence. Then I go through it with my, as you can see, my hot little pink pen, and I only underline scriptures. Because he quotes quite a few scriptures in the book. So, I don't even read the paragraphs anymore. I'm just looking for scriptures. That's all I'm doing. Just just, oh, there's a scripture, highlight in red. Scripture, highlight red. I don't even read the rest of the paragraph. I'm looking for the quotes and the scripture reference. Then the next time I read through the chapter, then I have my yellow highlighter. And I'm looking for just some significant words or phrases. Typically, it's the first word of the paragraph and the first sentence and the last sentence of the paragraph. Now, those seem like he either introduces the paragraph and then he concludes it with a closing sentence. And then the next time I go through the book, I have my pencil in hand because there's a few words that I want to highlight, and I just circle them because it draws my eye right to that word. And then after that, so now I've already gone through this chapter four times in preparing for this class, and then now I'm just sitting in my chair or couch at home, and I'm just looking at reading it just kind of like casually. And then thoughts come to my mind. As you can see, I've already written a couple of things. I wish he left more white space in the margin so I could kind of make more notes, you know, and things like that. Because there have been a few times, like previous book, I had to add a page with my notes and scotch tape and just a little sticky note there that I wanted to think. There's a thought there, but I had more to say than what the author did. So let's take this one now on page 27. And I'll follow his theme and just kind of read the verses first all together, and then we'll hit some high spots in the chapter itself. So on page 27, the title is Authority in the Word. Authority in the Word. And this is Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. If indeed you," me and the Gentiles, "have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." So you wonder why some people refer to Paul as the missionary to the Gentiles? I just told you right there. You know, I've been selected to do this. Verse 3. "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages," meaning other area like the patriarchal age or the Mosaic age or the time of Moses and the prophets, other eras previously, "which in other ages," verse 5, "was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now," while Paul's preaching during missionary time, "now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." Right? So Paul says, the things that I received by inspiration, we, myself, Paul is saying, and the apostles, we preach to you, and we also have written it down, like this letter that I'm writing to you right now. And the reason why we preach to you and the reason why we have written it down is so you might know what was before time, meaning Old Testament, was they were not sure of. The word mystery, I think he'll mention something like that in the text too. Mystery has, can be several meanings, but in the context, we're going to think of it as solving a puzzle or revealing something previously unknown. You know, so a mystery, I'm puzzled by that. Well, let me solve that puzzlement. So Paul says, I'm writing these things now, in verse 3, by revelation, he made known to me the mystery. In verse 2, he says, this dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. So what Paul and the apostles preached and what they have written down is the inspired word of God. They didn't make it up. We're going to see that later. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 15, the next verse in your book. "See then that you walk circumspectly." If you walk circumspectly, what do? Circle. You see everything around you. So when you're walking, just like if you were walking at night, maybe across the lot, you parked your car way across the parking lot from the store, whatever it is, or the mall, and or the theater, and you're walking back to your car. How do you walk?
Yep.
You walk, you know, you're looking all around. Why?
You want to be aware.
I ought to be aware. That's right. I'm looking out for danger, and I'm on the opposite side, I'm looking out for the safe place to walk. So in our Christianity, when we walk circumspectly, we not physically like this, but spirit with spiritual eyes, we're looking around to avoid the temptations, the hardships. So, and we obviously Paul is saying, if you walk according to the word of God, that's a safe path. Oh, this is as signs do on parking lots, walk this way. So walk circumspectly, not as foolish or not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand. Some people are going to say, the word of God, I can't understand it. Well, Paul says, sure you can. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul is not writing down something that's impossible. If you have difficulty understanding the word of God, then we can talk about that. Measures, well, let's have more Bible studies, friendships, fellowships, where we make discussions of God's word. You might get a translation that's easier to read, or get a couple of translations. You might get a commentary. The commentary is not inspired, but it will help you to understand what the will of God is or what the word of God says. What do you think when Dennis or Clarence and I or Dennis stand up and give a lesson? You know what our words are? Commentary. We're giving you what the conclusions that we have made from our study. So whether I give it to you in verbal form or have written it down like the writers of the commentaries are, as long as you know that those are helps to understand the Word of God. And I need them too. Now you go look at my office back there, how many books I have. Floor to ceiling, left to right.
I got dibs on the book.
I got. I need to study. And I get half a dozen people's viewpoints on the same verse, the same text, to help me understand what the Word of God says. All right, I'm not getting very far. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But you must continue in the things which you have learned. But we have to learn the Word of God. And been assured of. Boy, that's another phrase. Don't just let that just kind of go by. The assurance of salvation. We even sing a song, Blessed Assurance. Where did you get that blessed assurance? From the Word of God. And Paul writes that. Timothy, continue in the things that you've learned. Stay with God's word and been assured of. You don't have to walk around always wondering, I wonder if I'm saved or not. I wonder if I'm okay with God. I wonder if I'm on the right track. Oh, no. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Is that it?
Yeah, it is, because I'm saying it's so it's got to be it.
John says, 1 John 5, verse 13, these things write I unto you, whereby ye may know that you are saved.
I think that's it.
You can have the knowledge. You don't need to walk around always wondering, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And you don't have to walk around herky-jerky in your faith.
Yeah.
This is practical Christianity that we're talking about right now in this context. Now, I mean, it's probably nothing to do with but under the authority of the Word of God. You can trust what God says with confidence and stand fast. See? So continue the things that you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from the childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Don't put your faith in me. You can, I mean, a little bit, but as a maybe, because you think, well, Brian studied it out, he knows, but no. Like the people in the Bereans, Acts 17:11, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In that, they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures whether those things were so. Wait a minute, you're going to check on the Apostle Paul's message? Yes, I am. But it's the Apostle Paul. It doesn't matter. It's for your own assurance. He's like, in the, use the illustration, when I was raised up in the church several generations. And here I started preaching, and people asked me, Brian, why do you believe baptism is for remission of sins? It wouldn't have done much good to say, well, that's what my dad told me, or my mom, my Bible school teachers. I had to go back and prove everything that's been taught to me. It just so happens that everything that I read and studied was exactly as dad and mom said. I didn't have to change, but I still had to prove my faith. Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Prove all things. Prove it. And then you can hold fast to that which is good. But prove it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, the authority of the word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for four things, I always put. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So the profitability of God's word, the authority of it, profitable for doctrine, what you believe. So if you're ever in doubt or somebody says something suspicious, you go to the word. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. If I'm thinking the wrong thing, preaching the wrong thing, for correction, for instruction, so I can gain more information, knowledge, in righteousness, in that which is right. The very definition of the word righteousness is in the word itself, that which is right. That the man of God, that's me, may be thoroughly complete unto every good work. So we lack nothing. Authority of God's word. He also mentions on the next page, you almost get the whole chapter of meaning just out of reading the verses. The chapter, page 28 at the top, 2 John verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. In Revelation 22, verse 18, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So there's the verses. Comment or question? Bring to mind anything yet? All right. In his introduction, if you read that, it's just a quick summary of everything he's going to tell you in the next two pages. He does that in the introduction. Then after the, and just entry, a couple of things that I circled. Obviously, in the introduction on page 28, the very first sentence, Jesus declared, Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. All. You don't go anywhere else for your authority in religion. All authority. Put the first sentence of the next paragraph on page 28. Because the words of Jesus and his apostles are authoritative, they must be obeyed. That was Clarence's lesson last week. If God's word is God's word, then we need to submit to it. The sentence at the at the bottom, the verse from Thessalonians, the very bottom of page 28, the very bottom, the verse that he quotes. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because, here's an occasion to thank God. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And then the first sentence of the next paragraph, the Bible is not the product of ingenious human design. Rather, it's God's message. So that's what the author is doing, taking from the verses that he's had in the beginning of his chapter, He's giving you summary statements with additional proof that the Bible is authoritative, and it's the authority is in that word of God. Right. Comment or question? Anything else come to mind? You don't want to hear me preach for 35 more minutes.
Sure we do.
You're too kind.
Gotta make up for last week.
Yeah.
We had 2 weeks.
On page 30, the paragraph before the bold print at the bottom, right in the very middle of the page, begins with the word because on page 30. Very middle paragraph. I even highlighted in yellow and circled the word. So, because the authoritative message of God has been revealed, so that's your primary major point in your argument, because the authoritative message of God has been revealed, individuals must respond to it. Now and even if you don't respond, you responded. You responded by not responding. Individuals must respond to it in an appropriate manner. And that is submission. You know, and everything that goes along with that word, doing what it says, recognizing it as authority. Think of law enforcement. No, don't think of law enforcement. Brings back memories. No. But even law enforcement, why do you obey the law of the land? Why do you submit to that law?
They have the authority.
Because it's right, Romans 13, and plus the consequences if you don't. No, that's a great motivator for some. But if people don't have any respect for the law, then they become law breakers to varying degrees. So if we believe in the authority of God's law, then submit to it. Okay. In his application on page 32, I don't want to read the book, the chapters to you. On page 32, in the application, first sentence, if that's all that conditional if Paul's message to the Ephesians teaches us anything, it is that we are in possession of God's plan for humanity. That's what those verses, one conclusion among others, but that's a conclusion we reach from those verses. Paul said that this what I preached to you was given to me by revelation, to me for you. So if its message teaches anything, if we are in possession of God's plan, then the next paragraph or next couple sentences down, additionally, in the first paragraph of the application, Paul emphasized that man is capable of understanding God's revealed plan. And you are. That's why if you don't understand something in life, you know, you go get an education in that. Maybe. Maybe you go, if you're really interested, you know, you'll take a class on that. I don't understand it now. Well, someone needs to teach. You can do it by those self-study courses, a lot of ways, but you need to be, we have to be taught. Christianity is a taught religion. You don't just gain it osmosis. It's not inherited. It's a taught religion. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. They're not going to get it any other way.
But, you know, the interesting part about the whole thing is that, yes, it's taught because it's not something that's innate. But there's very little that you have to teach. Because when you look at it from the broad grand scheme of things, Christianity is just life moral. Mm-hmm. There's very little that you have to teach. When you search the scriptures, what are you looking for? What are you reading? You're reading all the things that your parents taught you anyway.
I knew you thought you were going to go that direction right
there. Of course.
Yeah, you're already doing so many things. You say, the Bible's a list of do's and don'ts.
No, it's not.
But God has never asked you to leave anything that's good for you. He's just like your parents or your counselor at school or law enforcement. They ask you to leave things that will either hurt you physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. God says, stay away from those things, just as a parent would do with a child. Now, taking Dennis's illustration again, but now we take it over to the spiritual side of life. I have a spirit, just as I physically, I've learned laws of the land, I've learned how to abide in society. Now I need to learn how to abide in God's kingdom. And so you're probably already on your way, but now we add an element of faith. We walk by faith.
Because you hear all the time, of course he went to heaven. He was a good person. Yeah. Of course he went to heaven. He gave all his money to the some organization, mm-hmm. saved the children, bought a country and improved it, whatever. Of course he was a good
person. Yeah, a lot of good people.
So people, Christianity is really just life moral with a little bit that you have to know.
Faith is involved. And then we have to study that, but then we'll never know all of it.
No.
Because the Bible speaks about the unsearchable riches, the height, the breadth, the length, the depth of God's love, how unsearchable are his ways. But that don't let that discourage you from learning as much as you can.
Well, in the smallest, you say, I can describe to you my experience and my impressions of Luray Caverns, for instance. But then you go yourself, you go, really?
Gone.
Wow, that's even more than I expected.
Yep. Yep. So study God's word. All right, any other comment or question? Well, Clarence let us out early last week, but Dennis?
Well, you were speaking about commentaries and even what you were giving commentaries. I remember that statement, the Bible shed a lot of light on that commentary.
Oh, yes. Without a doubt. That's right. Yeah, don't just take the... I have a friend I have coffee with, Parks Pemberton.
Yeah.
I see him down at McDonald's every once in a while, and he brings in all these study books about the Bible. Books on from the Reform movement and writers. And I never see his Bible.
You never will either.
All you see are these books. He reads everything about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then tries to draw me in to confront about what the writers say. I say, Parks, the Bible says. And then he says, well, I know what you're going to say, Brian. I already know what you're going to say. Well, I hope you do. Because he's reached the conclusion that baptism is not immersion, that you can be baptized by sprinkling or pouring. I said, Parks. Mm-hmm. Really, I said, Parks, are you crazy? What are you thinking? How can you possibly reach that conclusion? Well, I didn't say it. Well, I did say it almost that way. Until the management said, could you hold it down?
That's in here, too. The baptism.
Yeah, is that coming up in a future chapter?
Yeah, I believe so. 11.
Chapter 11. This we believe.
11 and 12.
Immersion is in precept.
Sorry.
All right, so that's the lesson. I was going to try to get two lessons in, but we're already behind. This is January 4th for next week, and we're already on March 1st. So.